It's that time of year when Bloomberg Government ranks the top 200 federal contractors. Which ones made it through 2013's ups and downs, mostly downs, intact? Which ones thrived? Evan Krohn is the Director of Government Sales Research with Bloomberg Government. He joins us now to tell us all of that and more. Hi, Evan.
Hello. Good morning.
So, Evan, first, set the scene for us. In your report, you say total contract spending fell 11% last year.
That's right. This year we saw, or for fiscal 2013, we saw about $460 billion in federal contracting, which was down from about $512 billion last year. So big decrease.
And where was that decrease mostly?
Well, we saw it pretty much across the board. There were only a few agencies that were actually up, but the biggest cuts were by far in defense. We saw 15% decrease in contracting within defense, which is even more than the overall decline in contracting of 11%.
And I suppose that's really no surprise considering the sequestration, considering that the government was, for the most part, shut down for a couple of weeks last year and all the other sort of budget uncertainties. But not all contractors suffered. Tell me about those that actually came out ahead at the end of last year.
That's right. So not all contractors had such a bad year. And in the top 10, we actually had three companies that grew their contracting revenue. Lockheed Martin, Huntington Ingalls, and McKesson all grew. And really, one of the main reasons why they did is because they work on politically protected programs. For Lockheed Martin, obviously, the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter is very much protected. In Huntington Ingalls, we saw some warships, especially within DHS, be purchased this year, which bumped them up. And then McKesson, obviously, is a major pharmaceutical supplier and had a lot of money go to the VA this year. So we saw a lot of increase in those kind of politically protected programs, while others fell by the wayside.
And if I'm not mistaken, about half of the top 200 came out better at the end of 2013, and about half came out not so great compared to 2012.
That's right. We tend to see that kind of behavior. The guys who don't do so well at the bottom of the list tend to fall off the list. So the guys who end up on the bottom of the list this year, every year, pretty much are guys who have moved up from maybe right outside the 200. So we did see that. One of the most interesting things, though, that we saw this year was that it was such a bad year that that you didn't actually even need to gain revenue to move up the list. We saw 40 companies actually lose revenue and either stay at their ranking or increase, which is by far a record.
So what's the bottom line of all that then?
Well, I think what we're going to see is, you know, continuing downturns in federal contracting. We do have some certainty now that where we didn't have it before, especially in 2013 with sequestration. Now we have the Ryan Murray budget deal. We have the 2014 appropriations that have been signed and are going into effect. And we have a 2015 budget request that actually starts to make some choices. So we should see some maybe more stability. But overall, I think everybody's adjusting to this new normal of a flat and not as high as the peak in 2008 level of contracting.
Now, you mentioned already one tactic for success is to have a program that Congress really, really likes and is going to go to bat for. What were some of the other strategies that you saw working among contractors last year?
Well, we saw actually some diversification plays. We didn't see a lot of M&A, but we did see some movement into adjacent markets.
And that was different from years past, right?
That's right, yeah. One of the reasons why we didn't see so much M&A last year was there was just a lot of uncertainty as to where the dollars were actually going to end up. This year, actually, because of the increased uncertainty, we might start to see some more activity. But that's correct. We did see, however, some diversification, as I said. A CGI group, for example, of the Affordable Care Act fame, was able to diversify away just from Health and Human Services and actually into things like visa services for the Department of State, allowing them to basically stay at the same level of revenue. So we saw that across a number of different firms.
So the interesting thing is that they were sort of applying their service skills that had been used in one arena for one agency, were able to translate that into something that perhaps has some similarities, but is actually pretty different when you think about building healthcare.gov versus visas.
Absolutely, yeah. We do see that, and that is one of the most successful strategies that we've seen. Is if your main market is either saturated or flat or even declining, we did see a lot of companies kind of move into other areas, leveraging their capabilities to gain business elsewhere.
We're speaking with Evan Krohn, and he is Bloomberg Government's Director of Government Sales Research. BGov has just released its ranking of the top 200 federal contractors. Let's take a minute to talk about the agency side of things. In your report, you have snapshots on the Defense Department, also other agencies. What are the trends that you're seeing among the civilian agencies?
Sure. So we did see a lot of areas did decline. Things like USAID was cut the most, actually, in terms of percentage change of 17%. Energy, NASA, agriculture, all were down about 5%. But we did see some growth. And I think what this indicates is something that one of my colleagues likes to call the choice between guns and grandmas. We have we actually saw some growth within HHS and Veterans Affairs of about 5% increase this year, both representing our increased focus on health. And actually, that was one of the areas that we saw as a growth area for companies was to move into health technologies. The other biggest growers in the civilian agencies were Treasury and Education, both pretty high. Actually, Education is at about 27%. And one of the reasons why they saw such growth was the internalization of the student loan program, which now is directly administered by the Department of Education. There was a lot of work to actually stand that up within the agency. So that's why we saw that be so high.
So are these one-offs, so you don't expect them to be repeated in 2014?
In certain cases, we do. I think that HHS and VA trends are probably going to be on the more sticky side of things. VA was the only agency that was excluded from sequestration and is fairly well protected. HHS, as long as the Affordable Care Act is still going forward, will still see a lot of money. Education, however, as soon as they stand that up, it might end up declining or at least staying constant from where it is. Treasury, which I also mentioned being so high, is actually more of an indicator of cyclical metal purchases. they buy a lot of metals to print money, and this year happened to be a big year, so that probably will decline as well.
And in your report, you spend a page to explain the Department of Energy's contracting relationship. So I'm going to ask you to tell this story, too. I'm just curious about it. It's something that I want to know if this is particular to the Energy Department or tells a larger story about government contracting.
Sure. Well, I definitely think it tells a larger story. What we did was we excuse me, took the top 10 contractors to the Department of Energy and looked at who exactly make up these contracts, these contractors. So the top one is Lockheed Martin, but you look at other sort of joint ventures that are up there, including Los Alamos National Security, Lawrence Livermore National Security. All these JVs that run national labs are all made up of these other top contractors in there as well. So you might see top 10 contractors, but it really only represents maybe five or six because they ended up partnering and working together on these things. One of the most interesting things that we've found over the past year, and we actually released a separate report on this, is that a lot of these guys, especially in the top defense contractor area, really supply each other and work on joint ventures with each other. So even though we see these as separate companies, a lot of times they end up working together.
All right. So then, when you take your top 200, is it a lot less diverse than you might think when you're saying 200 companies?
Well, it's pretty much 200 companies. There are a number of joint ventures. I think there are 22 that we've identified. So some of those are actually made up of some of the other top 200 companies. It probably is a bit less diverse in that a lot of them share in the success of others, like I mentioned before. But about 22 JVs, and there are a lot of supplier relationships, but that's been going on for a long time, I would say.
That's nothing new. I just want to ask you, first of all, to pick out an interesting story or two about the top 100, and then I want to know how that varies from those companies that are 100 to 200.
Oh, sure. Actually, one interesting little tidbit that we found was for United Launch Alliance and SpaceX. So there's been recently some discussion. Elon Musk was on 60 Minutes, for example, talking about SpaceX and how they're moving into this sort of this previously uncompetitive market of space vehicles and space launch. Last year, we saw a large amount of spending on space vehicles from both United Launch Alliance and SpaceX. This year, we saw a big decline, and one of the reasons is that we actually saw them now get paid to launch them. So last year was the purchase of the vehicles, and this year it was actually a purchase. It was a it was the purchasing of the launch services. So we see that kind of transition. That was an interesting one that we saw this year. In terms of the companies from the 100 to 200, I mean, there's just generally a lot of churn. We do see some interesting guys pop up. For example, there are a lot of technology resellers at the bottom. And one of them is number 181, which is Red River Computer Company, which is actually a small business. And they've been able to generate so much in the way of set-asides and resale business that they've actually popped up into one of the top 200 companies. So we're seeing a lot of movement down there, and we typically see a lot of churn. And it's just interesting to see a small business enter the top 200.
But when you look at the top 100, I assume it's all the usual names, right?
That's right. I mean, typically these guys don't change too much. Sometimes what we see is actually construction firms move up into here because it tends to be pretty lumpy and also pretty large. So sometimes you see a big construction firm pop up one year and then go away entirely.
You also noted a trend overall that makers did better than service providers. Is that typical?
Well, this year it is, and part of that has to do with that whole political protection issue. The services industry is getting more and more competitive, and I think people are seeing a lot more price sensitivity on the part of the government. So there tends to be more leverage on the part of the government to actually drive down prices and potentially cut work there. Some of the more product-focused items tend to be part of the politically protected programs, like anything supporting the F-35 or major war systems excuse me, that haven't been cut. We do see protection there. So that's kind of the story we've been seeing.
And so what are we to take away from this as we look towards 2014? We're already a third of the way done, of course. But what should contractors take away from this ranking, and what should the rest of us take away from it?
Well, I think what we're going to see is this really is an adjustment to what we're terming the new normal. In an era of flat budgets, flat contracting, maybe even declining contracting, this is really going to end up being a stealing share kind of situation. So this is no longer the era of the mid-2000s when everything's going up and there's room for everyone. So I think we're going to see a lot of restructuring, a lot of changing of cost structures, a lot of changing of strategies to try to win in a very, very difficult environment.
Evan Krohn is the Director of Government Sales Research with Bloomberg Government. And Evan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.